Hello, this is Charles Shepard of the Fort Wayne Museum of Art, bringing you another chapter of American Stories, the behind-the-scenes look into America's history of art and culture. Today's story is about John Newman, a sculptor known for making rich, complicated sculptures using materials and techniques borrowed from local artisans from all over the world. John grew up in upstate New York, the only child of two linguistics professors who were so far removed from the rigors of daily life that he remembers them calling an electrician to replace a burned-out bulb in the dining room. As a result of their influence, John was not a hands-on child. He thought about everything under the sun, but he never made anything throughout his childhood. He excelled at math and English, and he liked his art classes, even though he seldom completed his assignments. As a junior in high school, John discovered conceptual art, however, which really interested him because it stressed the idea over the objects, something he could truly identify with, given his upbringing. Art suddenly became his favorite subject. After high school, John enrolled in the Progressive Independent Study Program at the Whitney Museum of American Art, which stressed approaches to making art that merged variations of conceptual, installation, and performance art. Excited by his experiences at the Whitney, he went on to earn his BA from Oberlin College in 1973 and his MFA from the Yale School of Art in 1975. No longer afraid of being a very hands-on artist, John threw himself into a series of explorations that fused his concepts to new types of art objects. After graduate school, he began making two-sided reliefs that hung perpendicular to the wall. It struck him that if the viewer would look from one side to the other and then back again, it was just like reading a text which extended the visual experience via memory. His goal was to set up a potential experience that was more than just an optical situation. His broader objective, though, was to try to position his work between categories, not quite painting, not quite sculpture. John's dream was to make things that he'd never seen before. Quick to concede that there is usually really nothing new under the sun, he still wanted to push himself to try to find a way to create things that were unique visually and conceptually. John's work attracted attention at university art departments around the country, and he was invited to be a visiting professor and artist at dozens of different universities and art schools. In 1992, Yale appointed him director of graduate studies in sculpture, a post he held for close to a decade. During this time, he became known for his large-scale pieces, which included commissions in Washington, D.C., the General Mills Outdoor Sculpture Park in Minneapolis, and the Storm King Art Center in New York, among others. But after trips to India, Japan, and Africa, he decided to chart a different artistic course. He saw that in all these cultures, smaller objects had greater significance, either spiritually or religiously. This led him to realize that there was a lack of intimacy or contemplation in the Western art world. So he began to make smaller pieces, rich, complicated sculptures from unusual and seemingly unrelated materials that he fashioned using techniques that he had learned from the local artisans all over the world. John's new works were intimate tabletop objects whose graceful forms, vibrant colors, and complex textures gave them an intimate and seductive quality that is intensified by their fragility. Commenting on a recent exhibit, The Wall Street Journal said, "John Newman makes serious, happy sculpture and happy, serious sculpture without ever losing track of either of these qualities." John's work now is in many public collections, including the Brooklyn Museum, the Metropolitan Museum, the Boston Museum of Fine Arts, the Whitney Museum, and the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. In 2004, John received the coveted Prix de Rome, one of the art world's greatest awards. Still working and exhibiting at a furious pace, John recently told me, "It's a very interesting moment for me. I'm like the free-form sax player Ornette Coleman in that I don't feel the need to have to justify myself. I just step up to the mic and blow my horn." Thank you for joining me, Charles Shepard, for this week's program. Please join me again next week for another episode of American Stories on NIPR.